Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Feel Good Life. I'm Jennifer James, your host, and we are going to just talk all things that happened in April of 2025 in my world. It was a busy month, a lot going on. The biggest thing was I had a business trip to Japan for our specialty soybean business where we contract with other farmers in the area through Delta Soy, it's our brand name, to grow a specialty soybean that they use in Japan for a food product called natto, which is a fermented soybean product. So they usually eat it for breakfast. It's probably not as good as ham and eggs over here. Don't think an American's going to choose it over our normal biscuits and gravy, but it's a very healthy food. It's very good for your gut microbiome. It has lots of probiotics in it because it is fermented, and they eat a lot of it in Japan. In fact, we toured a couple of manufacturing plants, and the product comes in a styrofoam little clamshell. It probably has 3 or 4 ounces of soybeans in it, and those suckers were flying by on that manufacturing plant like crazy. Some of these plants produce 500,000, million, up to 1.5 million packages per day. So it was really cool to see that process happening in Japan and thinking about all the soybeans here in Jackson County and surrounding counties in Northeast Arkansas being inside those packages and making it to a family's breakfast table in Japan and being part of that process and that supply chain. It was pretty overwhelming. So, wanted to talk a little bit about my trip to Japan and my travels. I'm always so fascinated by their culture. It's right up my alley because they're a very quiet culture, very mannerly, very respectful of each other's space. I think that's probably because in places like Tokyo, we looked up, there's over 6,000 people per square kilometer. And here in Arkansas, there's only 22. So if that gives you a little bit of perspective about how many people are in Tokyo, it is just crazy. They're everywhere. If you follow me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, I posted a video of the people in Tokyo's train station at rush hour, and there are people everywhere. It's just like bees almost. They're just walking around so fast, and ironically, it's actually pretty quiet. You can just hear footsteps and the movement of people. You don't hear people on their phones or talking loudly with each other. In fact, on the trains, which we rode a lot of trains while I was there, but on the trains, they don't talk on their phone. In the train, they don't talk loudly to one another. If you do have a phone call, they get up and they walk in between the cars so that they're not disturbing each other. They're just very polite and very conscious of each other, which I think is kind of a lost art here in places for us. We're just the loud Americans on the train in Japan most of the time. We notice ourselves talking to each other and having a conversation. We're like, oh, we probably need to tone it down and be a little bit quieter. So we did travel almost every day while we were in country. I left on Friday, and it is quite a long flight. So I'll fly from Little Rock to Dallas, and then it was 13 hours in flight to Tokyo. We land in Narita Airport, which is a huge airport. It's just unbelievably large. It's one of those places where the board of the flights going in and out is just looks like a scoreboard at a high school football game. So there's a lot of people there, a lot of planes, a lot of logistics going on. So we have to find our way down to the Narita Express, which is the train that goes into Tokyo. Train number one was from the airport to our hotel. We went to Tokyo Station and then found our way to our hotel, which was not easy. So we grabbed a cab so we could get there and not wander around Tokyo super jet lagged. So we got there about Saturday to our hotel about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And my travel partner, my business partner, and I, we decided, okay, we're gonna run in, we're gonna get a shower and kind of get refreshed a little bit and then go eat dinner. And we both fell asleep. So we missed dinner on Saturday night, just due to jet lag and exhaustion. Sunday was a free day, thankfully. I didn't do a whole lot. There was a little garden area not far from the hotel. So I wandered down there to see what it was about, and I actually had to pay to get in. It was a couple of dollars to get in, which is pretty unusual. I don't think I've ever paid to get into a park or a green space area in Japan, but this was a historical area where shoguns from, I think it was the 5th and the 6th shoguns. It was kind of what they called their beach house. So it was on Tokyo Bay, so it was on the water, but it's kind of crazy now because it's just surrounded by skyscrapers, so I'm sure it looks a lot different than it did when the shoguns were there. But they would come in. There was a place I saw where you could see where the old lighthouse stood, where they would come in on their boats to their beach house area. And in fact, crazy enough, I'm walking around and I see signs about duck hunting. And if you're in Arkansas and you're in agriculture and especially in rice production, you know that duck hunting is a pretty big deal here. So I was interested to see all about what this shogun duck hunting looked like. So they had their, I guess what we would call a duck blind, and it was built in the ground. There was dirt around both sides of it and a little wooden building in the middle. And then from that building, there was a canal that went out to Tokyo Bay. So kind of a narrow waterway. And what they would do in off season when they had domestic ducks or ducks that lived in the area year round, they would go inside this little building and they would knock really loudly on a piece of wood, and they would throw feed out in the canal, so it would lure the ducks in to be fed. So actually, they were just teaching the domestic ducks to come in and up the canal. So when the waterfowl were migrating, they would do the same thing. They would beat really loudly on the wooden block, throw the food out. The domestic ducks would come in, which would then bring in the migrating ducks with them. And they didn't use guns, but they had falcons that they would release the falcons. They would grab the ducks. And as they were trying to fly away with the ducks, and they were kind of heavy, they would take these huge, big nets and swoop down on the ducks and the falcons. And that's how they went duck hunting. And I guess they ate the ducks. It didn't really talk about that. It just talked about the way they captured them. But there were several of those hunting blinds, as you might call them, in that area, and a lot of signage that explained how all that worked. So it was super interesting being from a big duck hunting area to see how it was done back centuries ago. But there was some pretty green space, and Sunday afternoon there were a lot of young families with their picnic blankets and their bento boxes with their lunch, and little toddlers and kids running all around and playing with their parents and just enjoying the time outside and the day. And I'm sure that green space is very welcome to a lot of those, especially families, because they live in, small high-rise apartments, and those kids need to run. So do the adults too, right? So it was a nice afternoon. But Monday morning we got up and hit the ground running with meetings and train travel. I have kind of estimated that we traveled over 700 miles in country, and I was there for 5 nights. So a lot of train travel. I think it's really cool that they have such good train travel. I wish we did. It would be so nice to just jump on a train and go to Dallas shopping for the day, or maybe down to New Orleans for the weekend and go by train and get there, in a couple of hours, because the bullet train is fascinating. We actually did travel by Mount Fuji, but it was cloudy this trip, and so we didn't get to see the top of Mount Fuji, but it is beautiful on a sunny day. I had the opportunity to see the top of it on a really pretty day. So it's an amazing feature over there. Some of the things that fascinate me besides just the quiet culture, the food is amazing. I love the food. That is almost the highlight of the trip. We always try to have sushi, and there's nothing better than fresh sushi in Japan. It just melts in your mouth. If you like sushi, I mean, the worst sushi in Japan is going to be better than the best sushi here, I promise. So we always try to pick up sushi when we can. I love the baked eel, and so I found a little restaurant that had eel in it around the corner on that Sunday night, and it was so good. And a couple of the meals that we had with our buyers was called shabu shabu. And that is where they bring out a pot of vegetable broth or chicken broth and a big candle, and they put it on top of there. And so you start your water boiling, and then you have a bowl of fresh vegetables, different kinds of fresh vegetables, lots of cabbage and mushrooms and carrots and different things like that. And then a meat. And we had pork. It's sliced very thinly. So you put your vegetables in the boiling water and let them kind of blanch down, and then you can start putting your meat in there. And the reason it's called shabu shabu is because when you pick up the pieces of vegetable or meat, with your chopsticks and you kind of swish them back and forth in the boiling water. It sounds like shabu, 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 shabu. So that's why it's called that. And then you dip it in a ponzu sauce. Ponzu is a citrus dipping sauce. Sometimes it has soy in with it, kind of a real fresh sauce that goes on those vegetables and meat. And it's good food. So much of their food is just really healthy. Even in the 7-Eleven, you can go in and buy a small bento box with fresh vegetables and fresh cooked meats and always rice. Of course, there's always rice at every meal. One of my favorite things are, and I don't know what the Japanese name for them is, but I call them just like a rice ball. So sometimes they're in a triangle or a round. And they have the rice with seasonings, and inside the middle of it is usually cooked tuna or smoked salmon. You can get them with vegetables. You can actually get them with natto inside them. But you can just run in the convenience store, get a bottle of water or a bottle of green tea and a couple of these snacks in hand and have a healthy lunch on the go. So another reason why they're all so slim and trim in Japan, for sure. Very healthy food, lots of vegetables, lots of pickled vegetables because of being on an island and needing the food preservation. They eat a lot of things pickled and fermented, like the natto and other things. So super healthy foods there. So one of the big things that always fascinates me in Japan are their toilets because almost all of them have bidets in them. They have electronic controls. They have, especially in a public place, they have sounds. So you can turn on a sound that sounds like running water so nobody can hear you while you're going to the bathroom. And in fact, the first night that we were there, the toilet was so complicated in the hotel that I had to get out my phone and turn on Google Translate to find the button to flush it. So it was pretty funny. I was in the dark, like I cannot even flush the toilet. I feel so stupid, but there's a lot, it's pretty complicated, and I guess they take cleanliness very seriously. Well, I know they do. And so even toilets in the airports and other places usually have a bidet. Now, you can walk in to a traditional Japanese toilet, which is basically just kind of a hole in the floor with sandpaper on either side. So I would prefer the Western toilets with the bidets because I'm pretty tall and in a business suit trying to make the Japanese toilets happen is quite difficult for me. So, but I look at some of the Japanese women and I think, oh my gosh, your legs are so short. It's so much easier for you to take care of business with those Japanese toilets. So, very fascinated by all of that. Also, in the bathrooms, there are no paper towels, and that's just because they don't want to generate more trash. There could be some air blowers, but most of the time there's just nothing. And so a lot of the older Japanese women will carry around just a very small washcloth that's a little thicker than a hanky, but not really as thick as a washcloth that we have. And I notice them, they'll have that in their purse to dry their hands off with. But there are typically no trash cans anywhere. Historically, I think, I don't remember what year it was, but there was a bomb in a trash can in Tokyo. So they just eliminated trash cans. And there's no trash anywhere. They don't throw their trash out. There's not even cigarette butts on the street. And so one time on one of my trips, I asked some of the people that we were with, some of the Japanese hosts, you know, what would happen if I was walking down the street and I threw out a cigarette butt or I threw a Kleenex or a napkin or something down on the ground. And his reply was, is that a lot of people would probably just stop and look at the trash and then look at you, and that the peer pressure would cause you to bend down and pick that trash back up. It's just, you just don't do it. And so very clean and surprising with as many people as are in Tokyo and some of the cities that we're in, that there's just no trash anywhere. It's amazing. So I enjoy a lot of things about Japan and being in country, but the main reason that I go once a year is for business. And so there is a tremendous amount of in-country travel to get to the Natto buyers' offices and the manufacturing plants because they are large, and the real estate in Tokyo obviously would be too expensive to build a large manufacturing plant on. So we have to travel out into the rural areas in Japan, which is super interesting. We meet with several of our buyers of our natto soybeans, talk about the business from the prior year. Maybe, there might be conversation about the quality of the crop and how that was gone through their processing plant. Every year is different with a soybean. You never know what the weather can cause or help or hurt, I guess, so to speak. So it's super interesting. We work so far on the agronomic side. We're looking at yield and producing the most soybeans, and they are looking at processing those beans, and they want them to be a particular color and a particular texture. They want the fermentation process to work the same no matter what variety, so that they can be very efficient in their processing of their food. And so, and there's a lot of discussion about the quality of our products and what we can do to help make that better each year. We do have a research program where we're trying to develop new varieties for our farmers so that the agronomic characteristics are even better than what we have now. But also, on the flip side of that, we have to make sure that those varieties are good for the manufacturing process and the fermentation process and the making of natto. So it's very difficult to find new varieties that fit both sides. And so a lot of conversations about what we can do better to help them to make a better product for their food and their grocery stores. Natto is a very traditional product. Actually, the bacteria that they spray on the soybeans to enhance the fermentation process is a bacteria that's found on rice straw. So that makes our growing region very similar to the region in Japan where they grow soybeans and rice. And we have a lot of weather, we're the same latitude, and so we have a lot of the same weather conditions and the seasons and everything like that. So it makes us very good for growing that type of soybean. Well, while my partner and I are in Japan, we have our other half of our partners still here back in Arkansas, loading those same soybeans into containers, shipping them across the Pacific to Japan. So it's always happening. There's always something going on, always something to pay attention to in this business. And of course, right now is the beginning of planting season, or kind of right in the middle of planting season, really. And it has been a crazy one in Northeast Arkansas. We've had tornadoes and lots of wind, lots of rain. We have had a rain event in early April where we got over 12 to 15 inches of rain, depending on the area. It's caused a lot of flooding, a lot of problems planting. It's caused a lot of economic hit to agriculture based on a lot of crops that were already planted before the rains that will have to be replanted. So the struggle is always here in agriculture. It feels like we never have a normal season, whatever that is anymore. And so a lot of farmers are coming off the heels of, a not so great 24 and hoping to start out with a really good start on 25, and just a lot of weather struggles coming up. So I'm hoping that as the waters recede, that farmers are able to get planted and get this 2025 crop in the ground timely enough that they can still see some good yields. For Delta Soy, that means not really even planting until about May the 10th or 15th. So those natto soybeans aren't even in the ground yet. We're hopeful that that crop gets planted timely and we have good quality and good yields on it. So there's still lots of hope for the farmers that work with Delta Soy and produce natto soybeans for the Japanese market. Lots of other things going on in April. I've had plenty of meetings. We bagged all of our seed for the upcoming year. We bag all our seed by hand. We don't have an automated bagger. So every tote of seed that comes out of Delta Soy has been tied by hand by somebody who works here or works with us here at Delta Soy. We take very seriously the purity and the quality of the seed that we provide to our farmers. They are non-GMO soybeans. We send all those seed samples off to a lab to be tested, not just with a quick test, but with a laboratory test to make sure and verify that they are all non-GMO and pure. And I'm happy to say that all those tests passed. So everything looks good going forward. I'm excited to see that seed rolling out of the warehouse and getting in the ground here in a week or so by the middle of May, and all these farmers getting off to a good start with Delta Soy in 2025. Thanks for listening this week. I enjoyed just getting to chat everything I've done in April and all what's going on in spring planting and the natto business. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, just let me know, and I will see you in the field. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share so you never miss an episode.